show on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous but quite scousy today, Jill Serkin.
Busy's. Yeah.
You better tell, you don't know, do you? You don't actually know what busy's are, do you?
Yeah. Police.
They're policemen, aren't they?
Yeah,
police.
I don't know why they get that name. Because they're busy nabbing people,
Probably.
I actually saw a policeman on the beat in Canterbury.
On the beat or on the beach?
On the beat.
All right.
Yeah, not sunbathing. I was quite shocked because you don't really see them. But, he was... I thought, who would do that job? He was sort of searching some sort of really shady-looking bloke. And the man had his arms out and he was, on the street
as I drove
in Canterbury. Yeah. And there was another shady-looking bloke. And he was obviously looking for weapons. And I thought, just one policeman on his own, one busy on his own.
Dodgy.
Very dodgy.
Mm.
And then I remembered, it's just awful, that lovely policeman that got dragged by those travellers, which really upset me. And I think it resonated with a lot of people. The job that they do is amazing, and they should be funded a bit better, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But there you go.
We got no money now.
Well, no, because Rishi spent it all in the first.
He did.
That furlough. Yeah. I always say this. He was giving money away, it was like Santa Claus, and it's all very well. But where is that money going to come from? But if he's so rich, perhaps he'll just pop some in to the treasury.
I've lost count of how many trillions in debt we are. I find it hilarious that everything that's happening in politics is just hilarious.
Yeah.
They all blame Truss for the market meltdown, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
What she proposed was nothing compared to what we've already blown and what we continue to blow. I mean, they were saying, she can't fund the $60 billion giveaway for energy. We're spending £100 billion on a train line, for God's sake.
I know. And possessing people's homes by force. Mm. They're forced to sell their home, which must be awful.
Mm.
Cutting down trees and all that. It's very, very sad.
I've got a picture. I've no idea why. It's some conversation between Sarah Marsh Collins and Zenat, and it's a picture of a kitten eating a banana.
Oh, that's lost me. Is that monkeypox?
I have no idea.
Whatever happened to monkeypox?
Oh, we're coming back with that.
Are we?
Yeah.
We're all getting frightened. I have noticed an awful lot of adverts about flu season and all this.
Mm.
Flu season has started early. It's always started in September, and we're now in October. So, and they also kept us in all for a whole year, so we weren't mixing. And I'm still not really mixing like I did pre-COVID. Are you? I've become a bit more of a hermit, really.
Nobody invites me anywhere.
No. Well, I would. We're all going down to that lovely Sri Lankan restaurant. You know, he's on my show on Scoff and Quaff, Superior Show, of course.
Copper Rivet.
Yeah, we're all going down there for Christmas.
Copper Ceylon.
Yeah.
Copper Ceylon.
Yeah.
That's him.
If you'd like to join us with the lovely Amanda, we could go. She can bring her horse. Clip-clop. She could.
We could go by horse.
Yeah, she could.
To Bromley.
You could be side saddle. And then you could hitch it up. I'm sure he's got a little wooden banister outside,
I'm sure.
Put it on.
Yeah. He must get loads of people turn up on horses.
Well, wouldn't it be lovely with old, what's it called, zero, ground zero, what we're supposed to be doing. I heard in Germany that...
She doesn't even breathe between stories, does she?
I heard, I listened to BBC World Service and they did this really silly story this morning about hot tubs and how people... In lockdown, we're all buying hot tubs and you couldn't get one.
Yeah.
And now people are all selling them because they can't afford to run them because of the energy.
Don't even talk to me about energy.
Well, apparently in Germany, you're not allowed to run your hot tub at the moment.
You can't run anything.
Heat your swimming pool.
No, they're on severe energy rationing.
Why are they so bad? I mean, it's a big industrial, very... I mean, they were always so good, aren't they?
Yeah, because the Greens were running Germany and they don't have any way of producing their own power because they shut everything down. They shut all their nuclear power stations. They've had to...
Opened any up?
They are trying, but they're opening up coal mines and coal power stations. And here, how about this? I read a story the other day. There were some wind turbines, okay, which they had to dismantle because there was a coal field underneath them and they needed to get at the coal. So they dismantled the wind turbines so they could mine the coal.
You couldn't make it up, really.
You couldn't.
What's the word I was looking for about Germans? I mean, they're always very organised, aren't they? And, you know, there's a word for it. Come on.
Not anymore.
No. Well, like you saw me tweeting about my Mercedes radio and how I use Google Maps instead.
Yeah.
So I need you to help me set up there because apparently you can just do it through your...
The Germans are in big trouble. They are in big trouble on all kinds of dimension. Their industry's in trouble. They have no energy and their inflation rate is well above ours. They are in big trouble.
And Wayne Cunnington, he's our avid listener, he says, he's talking about Licky Matt, he's not quite sure about that, Matron. And then he says he thinks it's 3.2 trillion. I'm not sure what that's referring to.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, Wayne.
What was that referring to?
That's how much debt we have as a country.
And then, get this, this is scary, Oxford set to cut its famous traffic jams. The university city will be divided into six districts and motorists will get fined if they leave their neighbourhood too often. Mm. And that's what Canterbury are trying to do. Did you read that thing?
I
mean, it's ridiculous. If you're a mum, you have to get your kids to school. We can't all walk to school anymore, or cycle. The grammar schools are dotted all over the place. You drop your child at school, then you go on to work, which will be in another place unless you're working at the school. How can they do that? And Oxford are doing it as well. Mm. Do you know what? I think I'm going to move to Zanzibar.
I would.
Yeah. We could open up a Zanzibar radio station.
Yeah, we could. Well, we have a show in Ghana.
Well, there you are.
We could go and join Chris Nasir and use his studio.
What's his show called?
World Tunes.
Oh, wow. I love it. Does Boy George still play on our channel?
Occasionally.
Lovely.
Right, anyway, enough of all of that. I want to talk to our next two guests.
Yes, I can't wait.
Because we're running out of time. We've only got 45 minutes to get in.
Do you know what? It's time they stop scoffing as well, because they've done nothing
but
scoff.
They've been eating biscuits and sweets,
Absolutely. And you know, Darren has got a very sweet tooth.
Has he?
I mean, you know.
A sweet what?
Tooth.
Old tooth. Right.
Yeah. Very sweet tooth.
Well, they've got jelly babies and everything over there. I haven't eaten any of this, by the way, just in case anybody's monitoring this.
In case anybody is the partner monitoring this, he is actually telling the truth for once.
Yeah, that is very true. Listen, anyway, look, it's an absolute pleasure to be joined this afternoon by Zeenat Nirani and Darren Wheel. Blimey, where do you start with these two?
I don't know. But can I actually say a couple of things before we dive into us?
Yeah, of course you can.
Say lots of things.
So, first of all, Zanzibar is an amazing place to go. That's where my folks are from.
Really?
And they're really developing when I was 7 years old.
The health village. Yeah. That's what I'm really interested in.
And apparently there's massive developments going on there at the moment.
Sustainability.
Is it still called Zanzibar?
Yes.
Tanzania and Zanzibar. Yeah. Yeah, Zanzibar. Okay. Zanzibar in Tanzania. Sorry, I had to do it the other way around.
Yeah, Zanzibar. Yeah. And the Prime Minister, or whoever it is, the Minister, is Muslim, which I was a bit concerned about because I thought it might be radicalised or, you know, get Saudi...
We almost started this interview.
Get Saudi money, which, you know, is happening in Lombok. Lombok is very, very poor near Bali, but big... place for Saudis to go, and so they're building lots of mosques and giving very poor people money. But I'm going to go to Zanzibar.
Yeah, it's a lovely destination. I mean, lots of people go there for their honeymoon as well. It's a real honeymoon resort. Anyway, because I know Paul's giving me the eye there.
Yeah, can you give me more information?
I will
on
give
that?
You more information
when we go to the Sri Lankan, perhaps.
Yes, absolutely. We will. On that day. Just a quick shout out for Chandra Sharma because he's just WhatsApped me. The EEL Kent networking event is happening on the 8th of November and that is taking place. It's a business networking meeting. It's taking place in Ebbsfleet.
Right, okay.
From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So, yeah, if you're interested, then there's a link on Eventbrite. So if you just pop in EEL Kent networking. And you'll find it.
Fantastic.
So brilliant.
Yep. Nice one. Thank you, Chandra. Thank you for that. And I hope it goes well. Right then, you two. We got Darren and Zeenat. Zeenat and Darren. The terrible twins. I don't know where to start with you two. You've both got businesses that you run. Zenat does a show on this radio station. Darren sponsors the show. They also do a podcast together called The Bromley Buzz.
And he also does my PR for me.
And he does your PR. You make him look good by standing next to him. And you've got a campaign running called Let's Talk.
Indeed, yes.
So where should we start with this? I think we'll start with each of you telling us a little bit about yourselves, yeah, and the things you do. And we'll go with ladies first, so Zenat can go first, yeah.
I didn't know I was a lady.
You are a lady.
I am a lady.
She's a lady. Yeah.
You're a lady in teal today. No, we must just tell the listeners.
Lady in red.
No, lady in teal.
Teal.
We must tell the listeners. She's got these lovely teal feathered earrings and a lovely matching teal, all very coordinated, little teal necklace with a flash of gold on the cufflinks.
Isn't a teal a type of duck?
Are you calling me a duck?
No, no, no.
Hey,
you accuse Jules of being random?
We have to come to the bunker looking good.
Yeah, there is a teal duck. You're right. Yeah.
There is.
Right, anyway, shall we let Zenat get a word in edgeways?
Anyway, she does look lovely.
Looks gorgeous. She's always gorgeous, but let her get a word in edgeways.
I was only saying. Anyway, carry on.
So, yes, as Paul said, I have my own show, Mindset Matters, on Channel Radio 2 on a Friday. Apart from being here on a Friday, I'm a well-being and mindset coach, and I support people with their overall well-being, just making sure that we have all the tools and strategies that we need to live the life that we want. So I support people like in their employment, so within the workplace, as we know, that's really important, especially some people are, hibernating, I was going to say, hybrid working.
Yeah, no, they are hibernating.
They are hibernating, absolutely. And also I work with young people as well, because mental health and well-being is very, very stressful at the moment. There's lots of research and stats going out there that they're really, really struggling. So in essence, and I could talk for hours and hours, and I know we don't have hours, but in essence, I support young people and people in the workplace with their mental health and well-being.
Fantastic. Darren.
And I was just about to say, before you move on to the lovely Darren, who's stopped eating now, chocolates, I think young people, I was just saying, I'm not sure of the age groups, but young people have seen this unprecedented things. You know, the elderly, it's been very difficult. Mm. Middle age, it's been very difficult, Lord knows. But for young, they must just be thinking, what on earth is going on with schools, with universities,
absolutely,
with colleges, staying in, being on their computers much more, not being able to just see their mates. It must be absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah. They're very lost in between everything that's going on. I mean, you know, slightly off topic, but there's a gentleman that I'm going to be having on the show, and I've already interviewed him. His name's Steve Phillip, and he lost his son. He was 35 to suicide. He took his own life. Oh. But what this gentleman's been doing, he's been campaigning with the government and the parliament to, one of the areas is to put a suicide policy, a learning within the educational curriculum.
Yeah.
And that's got turned down, basically.
Mm. Really?
And
what was the reason?
So, I mean, I can mention it right at the end, but it's all to do with that they're far too young. We might be planting the seed into them. But these children are already faced with death and are always already going through this mentally. So how can it be that we're planting the seed for suicide? Yes, the wordings would have to change, but they need to be educated because they're already facing death.
I could think of 100 things that they're trying to do at the moment that are much worse than that, that are planting seeds.
Well,
I'm not going to get into that because I want to talk to these two we're going to run out of time if we're not careful. But, I think the overall message is that our young people are under incredible mental strain.
Yeah.
Everyone's under incredible mental strain. Our government, and I'm going to be a bit political here, have been totally and utterly useless. They've spent the last 6 months playing games amongst themselves, playing their politics and their Machiavellian nonsense. And nobody's actually addressing any of the problems, severe problems we face as a society. And it's about time they got their act together and started doing something constructive to help the people that they have damaged so much with their policies.
On that note, this is why we're going to be talking about the Let's Talk campaign,
right?
Because it comes down to those key words, which we're going to talk about in a minute after Darren's introduced himself.
Let's hear from Dazza about Darren, Darren Wheel, and his Intune PR company and the other things he's doing, and then we'll talk about your campaign.
Okay. Well, as you say, Darren of Intune PR, and essentially I help people, businesses, organisations get into the media, build awareness, and if nobody's heard of you, they can't buy from you or use your service. So it's a simple thing that lots of people engage with. I'm also a copywriter, so I can turn what you do into very good words, golden words, as they were once described.
Golden words. Okay.
I would love that one.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's been... This is a fascinating show. This is like the Business Bunker times 10. You know, the randomness levels have been going along at breakneck speed, and unfortunately we've fallen into the state of politics at the moment, which is where everything is really flipping depressing. So I have an ambition to get stuff into a magazine called Positive News, which I love.
Okay.
You can get it in shops. You can order it online. And just to try to inject a bit of positivity into the show, here's a few headlines from it, right?
Right.
So, page 56, microwave like the Michelin's, top chefs on how to cook your way through the cost of living crisis. Page 62, ancient apple orchards trading carbon credits in Normandy. Page 44, Guardians of the World, the indigenous leaders winning huge victories for the planet. We need more of that, and we need more talking about it.
Wave magazine, Positive News. And is it a monthly, a bi-weekly?
I think it's a bi-monthly, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, it's really good. And we've surrounded by books that have got to do with our campaign, but I'll leave Z to kick off that one a bit more.
Absolutely, but just on that point, because you raise a very, very, very important point. One of the problems that we do face as a society is our media is entirely focused on bad news, because bad news sells. Yeah, and problem sell and dissing people and all the rest of it. And that paints a picture as if nothing in the world works and nothing could be further from the truth. I follow a Twitter handle called Human Dynamics, and Human Dynamics, I don't know if you've ever come across it, they are a think tank that does very, very in-depth analysis and data collection of things, and they post things that are positives in the world. Yeah, so you would not believe it, but in the last 50 years we've almost eradicated world famine. You know, compared to what it was when I was growing up in the 70s, you know, in Ethiopia, Biafra, if people remember those things.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, do you remember horrible pictures we'd seen night after night on our TV? Most of that has been eradicated, unless there's a civil war, or you know, the Russians decide to invade, which you know normally upsets things. Anyway, Human Dynamics is well worth a follow, and in the same vein as your Positive News magazine. So it's a good point, Darren. Anyway, carry on.
Actually, I don't have anything to add about myself, because that's not why I'm here, really.
Right.
Jules actually, made a good point just now, talking about young people and the isolation and the stress and all the rest of it that they're under. That has a lot to do with why we're doing the Let's Talk campaign.
Right.
But I'm going to hand over to Zeenat to say a bit more about that.
Right, yeah, so this whole thing came about because both in my field and Darren's field, conversations are so important. How we have the conversations and how people listen to our conversations, but importantly, that we feel that we have the freedom to have those conversations without judgment, without the stigmas, taboos, all of those aspects, the fears, the judgments. And we found that there was a gap, so we wanted to be the catalyst of the Let's Talk Better campaign to have these conversations, whether they're in private or they're in public, but to be better in society. And that way we're going to avoid the misunderstandings, the mental health aspects, the loneliness. I mean, we even want to target people like in politics, in schools, in pubs. How do we have these conversations and get them to come together? We're actually listening.
It's such a difficult thing to do, though, isn't it? You know, we were discussing earlier how some of the tech companies are shutting down discussions because they don't like them. And, you know, to be quite frank, there are some nutters about, you know, that talk. I mean, I cannot believe this week alone, I've seen about half a dozen Twitter handles that are trying to promote Flat Earth. And at first, I thought they were parody accounts. Mm-hmm. But they're not, and you just think, well, anyway, but the point
but
is...
the fact is you can mute them.
Yeah, no, but the fact
we
is...
We don't need Twitter to do it.
Yeah, you can, and I'm not so much manning about that. What I'm saying is that Zenat is absolutely right. If people feel that, you need to let them say it.
Yeah.
You need to hear it. And if it's an argument that has to be had, you have to put an alternative argument if you wish to do that. But you cannot do that if you shut everybody down all the time, you know, and don't let them speak.
Yeah. And through listening and speaking comes understanding and comes growth.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been inspired by so many books, as you can see, that they're literally towering on your desk from Stacey Dooley, who's written Are You Okay? We've got Perry Power, Breaking the Silence. He was on my show last week.
Yeah, I listened. It was a fantastic show.
I mean, absolutely incredible. We've got Nihal Athanayake, Let's Talk. This was the first
That's easy
book.
For you to say.
Absolutely fantastic. I mean, you know, how do we have these conversations? Because by having where we can truly address these issues, but then what's important is that we take action. There's no point just talking about things, oh, let's do this, let's do that, maybe have those little conversations, but then nothing happens. And that happens a lot within the workplace. They talk about implementing new strategies, new tools, new rules, but then what happens to it? It's just talk. There needs to be action after talk.
That's an interesting concept. I was explaining to someone the other day about big corporate off-site strategy meetings, and they tend to take the format of how can we get our people to work harder for less money, and then item two on the agenda is why are our people also depressed? And you know maybe one leads to the other, but most of these things are talking shops. There's very little action on anything. You know, people talk, but nobody does very much.
But one of the points about this, we do want to provide opportunities to talk more different settings, with different agendas to it. So I've started to talk to our local councillors and politicians about getting on a stage and actually talking about what they agree with each other about for a change.
Yeah,
we're likely to be coming up with events where we get people to do, instead of speed networking, where you never learn anything about each other other than your business, you know. Yeah. How are you really, as the Stacey Dooley book up there says, and address issues like another one of the books, Max Dickens' Billy No Mates.
Which you love.
He talks about the fact that men are not good by comparison to women at forming friendships with other men. I mean, even when we came in earlier
when we came in earlier on,
you gave Zenat an enormous hug and we had a formal handshake. I mean, you know, that's a little tiny microcosm of it.
Are you jealous?
I hugged you.
I know you.
I hugged you immediately.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I only get the bear hugs from Paul.
Yeah, admittedly, you disappeared.
But what's the age that you're talking to?
Oh, it's endless. So this campaign is targeting from young children all the way through to adults. It's to improve well-being for all, relationships, deepen the friendships, shared understanding around loneliness, which is massive. You know, just fight the bigotry and the discriminations.
Isn't it amazing, though, in a Western society where we have a million tools for communication, the thing that we're lacking is communication.
Well, this one of the chains, back to the books again, Johan Hari, Stolen Focus.
Yeah.
Nihal Athanayake interviewed him about that book, and it talks about things like the technology, about aspects of education, about dislocation in life, all of these things, taking people apart and making things bite-size again. And you referred to this in politicians earlier on as well. If they're only listening to themselves, their own camps, they're not really learning anything. We just lost a Prime Minister, Liz Truss, and a Chancellor, and part of that was somehow between them, they thought it was a really good idea to announce this enormous breaking policy about economics without telling their own cabinet, even the people who believed in them in their own tribe. There's something really broken there.
Absolutely. The thing is, and this, I want to get your feelings on this, on how you're going to do this, because this is a massive, massive subject. Yeah, it's huge.
Absolutely.
It's huge. And it's a bit like eating an elephant, isn't it? The only way you can do it is one bite at a time. So
start off with a haunch.
Exactly. So how do you see this campaign unfolding? I loved the thing that Darren said about getting some local politicians to sit, and good luck with this, getting them to talk about the things they agree with. Yeah,
they do. They behind the scenes, they're actually quite proud of this, but it's not coming through.
But this is the problem, isn't it? This is the problem that you get with a lot of this. I've chaired political meetings. I did a big Brexit thing years ago for TV. The problem is, you get in the green room and people will chat quite amiably about this, that and the other, and they'll laugh and go. And then when they go public, it all becomes an attack mode, doesn't it? And go, yeah, but it's all your fault. No, it's all your fault.
They put on a mask.
They put on a mask of trying to prove that, you know, they've got better solutions than you've got.
But I will come to the question you asked, how do we do this?
Yeah.
Well, like any good idea, it's got to start somewhere. So some people have written some books, but they're kind of in isolation. There isn't an action plan there.
And do these authors go around and speak to young people?
Some of them probably do, but it's nevertheless, there's not anything concerted behind it. Yeah. Mm. So to put it very simply, if we can get some action going on where we live in the London Borough of Bromley and we do our podcast and find some actual live examples of how to get conversations going, get people together in different ways, that's one thing. The second one is online, once we've got our website slightly better sorted out, we're going to put toolkits up there, will enable people to do this in other places. Mm. We're just hoping to inspire. And Xena is so fundamental to this because I'm a PR, I've got certain tools, but they're not really tools of the mind. So I'm totally dependent on you here, Z.
Yeah. I mean, the other way we would like to, and if possible, we're looking at this side of the year, though I am going in for an operation, so that kind of takes out a few weeks, but we would like to, is maybe put on an event. It doesn't have to be massive. It's going to be an event that will allow people, like professionals that within this industry that we can collaborate with, whether it's charities or other business people like ourselves, to come together and to have these conversations and share and talk about what their journeys have been like, what's going on in business, what's going on in their life, what are the barriers in generally, have just open conversations, but we'll theme this around specific themes.
Yeah.
Then we'll get those related professionals, to come on board and talk about it. So it's slowly drip feeding as we go on, because we've only launched it about 2 weeks ago.
Sure. And I think your overall strategy is the very best one that it can be. It has to be bottom up and it has to start locally.
Yeah.
And it has to start amongst people that know each other. And that is something that for many, many years we've overlooked. And this is my personal opinion. You may or may not agree. I think so many of our problems come down to the fact that as human beings, we tend to try to build large institutions all the time and to control everything from one central space.
Mm.
And I hate that. It doesn't work. It's never worked. We build our organisations in the same way that the Romans built their legions.
Mm.
Yeah. But we're not a Roman legion.
What we're trying to do here, we're not trying to build an empire. We're trying to build inspiration.
Exactly.
And that's what it is.
Give people the ability to do it themselves.
Yeah.
Now, can I actually engage in a little exercise?
Yeah.
Because this show, this station, has been part of this journey. It's embraced, it has these show on it, has this show on it.
Yeah.
You've been doing Let's Talk for 602 shows. This is 607.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the tools we're working on, and this is inspired by another book, 30 Things I Love Myself, for Atika Sangani. Fabulous book.
Mm.
But when we're putting people together, we're going to give them a prompt sheet.
Yep.
So instead of the first thing that comes to your mind, and you being British, is how's the weather?
Yeah.
Here's 30 things to talk about. Right. So, Business Bunker, would you like to give us a couple of ideas that we will permanently ascribe to you as things for people to talk about?
Oh.
Put you on the spot there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So can it be anything?
Mm. Yeah.
So when I'm on my dog walk, I always, dog walkers always say hello to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's often the person that you say hello and they ignore you and you feel really uncomfortable. And my husband and I walk along and we're holding hands often. And then I go, oh, hi. And nothing back, not a look. And we always squeeze each other's hand and go, awkward. So I think a big smile and say hello to someone is really important. Why do some people find that difficult?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if that's what you're looking for.
You know, that's a really important one, smiling and saying hello. Often you're here within the well-being field. A smile and saying hello to someone can save someone's life.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Which is why supermarkets, you know, shopping for the elderly, for example, with these self-checkout things are so awful because, you know, my mum will go into the local greengrocer, the local butcher, and they'll go, hello, Ruth, how are you? Do you want some pork chops or whatever? It's so important to a person that lives on their own 6 days a week.
Okay, well, you've given us an opening statement or open action. Let's try this one out, Paul. Let's smile at each other.
Great on radio.
It works really well.
Yeah, nothing forced about that at all.
No.
Right, would you like to throw in a question?
Well, I tell you, one of the things that I would like to challenge people to do is to try to think about things from another person's point of view. Okay. And what I want people to do is to try to argue the contrary position to the one that they take.
Very good.
Yeah. Not to prove it right or wrong, but just so they get a feeling about why people believe the things they do. Because in my experience is everybody comes at their proposition based on their own experiences of life and how they were brought up, where they were brought up, what their cultural background is and so on and so forth. There are very few things in life that are actually right or wrong. You know, there's a Ten Commandment level of right or wrong. But anything else, any political position or business position, doesn't have a clear-cut right or wrong. They just have very different perspectives, yeah? And the ability to see things from another person's point of view, I think, is one of the greatest talents that you can have. Because you then have an understanding of how they got to the proposition they got to. And what I don't mean is agree with the other person's point of view. I mean understand the other person's point of view. So my challenge is when you're faced with something, or be it on Twitter or in a face-to-face meeting, and somebody is diametrically opposed to the things that you believe, try to understand why they believe what they do.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I think that's a really good one. Often that will save a lot of misunderstandings, arguments, and allow conversations to flow better.
Yeah, actually, going back into politics, it really is not a political campaign. It's mostly about individuals and groups of people,
growth,
loneliness, all things like that. But one of the points is that Sir Bob Neill, a local MP, when we interviewed him, said about politics that politicians usually agree on the outcomes. They just disagree on how to get there.
Yeah,
we need to move back into a position where that's a bit more visible.
Yeah.
You know, you just mentioning Sir Bob Neill and going back to how we are going to be doing this. I mean, we already have contact with such great councillors, the Mayor of Bromley, and we can already start this panel discussion that we want because we've got some great people on board that can be put in a room to have this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, Hannah has already taken a preliminary view of the whole Let's Talk thing, and she's kind of up for it. She's one of the most positive news magazines. She should be on the front. One of the most positive people I bumped into in my career, actually.
Absolutely. You know, just talking about conversations, you know, the other day I was in Boots in Bromley and I'd gone in, bought my goods.
This is a pharmaceutical shop. It's not what you were wearing.
No, it's not what I was wearing.
Because she's got some lovely boots on.
I'm not wearing Darren's favourite boots. I've got these boots that Darren absolutely loves.
Okay.
Anyway, more about that.
They didn't fit.
I've seen magazines about that kind of thing. Yeah.
You have you?
Yeah.
Kinky boots. Yep. Okay, anyway, moving on. So I was in Boots, the pharmacy, and I'd bought my goods and I went to the checkout. And then all of a sudden it was just chaotic and I was going, oh, what's going on? They had removed all the counters where people would serve you and they put in the self-checkout ones.
I hate them.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. I've never seen such chaos. First of all, my items didn't go through properly. They ended up charging me more. And there was two people there that were trying to solve the problem. they were struggling to have the conversation. We couldn't have the conversation with the machine, so we're having to stand around. Now, if you were being attended by somebody behind the till, then that conversation's going to happen, and it's calmer. Mm. And people would be less frustrated and angry. Over there, everyone was getting frustrated. They were getting angry. They were getting agitated. And eventually, when I went over and I got my refund, I said, this looks like more chaos than it's worth. And he went, oh, you really just can't imagine what it's like. Yeah. And I was like, well, why have it? I said,
they
okay,
have no choice.
How many jobs have disappeared from here? Mm. And he went, oh, no jobs, no jobs. I went, oh, right, okay.
It's because at the moment, they're standing there watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's two people standing there watching when they could be doing.
And having a conversation and talking.
This is an issue that we've spoken about over the last few months here on the show, right. Or I've spoken about, which drives me potty, that technology is now being used as a weapon and not as a positive benefit, because there is very little human interaction when it goes wrong. And there's no way of interrupting the cycle of a lot of technology. And again, it comes down to communication, and machines cannot communicate, no matter how sophisticated they are, they cannot communicate at a human level, and they cannot cope with the foibles of humanness. And that's one of the problems we face, where frustration comes in, and it can drive you absolutely potty when you have a problem that is so easy to solve, if only a human would solve it at the other end, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you have to keep going round and round in circles with some kind of machine thing that says, put in your password. I've just put in my password. Yeah, no, we'll put in your password again. I've just put in my password. Sorry, you've put your password in three times. That's because you've asked me three times. Yeah, kind of nonsense.
The Let's Talk Better campaign, if we're ever to endorse anything, one of the places we might start endorsing is actually call centres, where you ring them up and you don't get, we really care about your call, it is really important. We are experiencing a higher than usual
number
of
inquiries. They're always experiencing a high volume.
Well, precisely. Oh, yeah, they don't care about the call enough to put on some extra staff.
Even
so
if you're
you get
one in the waiting list.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like my GP, actually.
Yeah. You're first in the waiting list, and sort of half an hour, 45 minutes later, you're still first in the waiting
list. Listening to the Four Seasons.
Yeah. Mm.
But one of the things there is that I know people who are so alone and so isolated that some of their only human interactions, when they go to the supermarket, and if the supermarkets take away all of the human people serving them, and all they've got is automated things, that's the last of their conversations gone.
Yeah.
And this is one of the reasons why, and Jules is a champion for this, independent shops that have real people who really know people and actually like their customers.
Yeah. And they'll deliver.
And supermarkets don't, because they do. They're really nice.
Yeah.
But it's really valuable.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the thing is, if with these self-checkouts, sometimes you're knackered, you know, sometimes you don't feel well and you've got to do your own checkout. It's just,
It's like anything. There are pros and cons. Yeah. I've worked in technology nearly all my life. Yeah. I'm not a Luddite. But I also understand that technology has limitations when you're talking about humans and how humans interact. I've always said with people developing stuff, don't develop it and test it on yourself, which is what they do. Get your granny to try it.
Yeah.
Because when your granny tries it, you'll actually find out how it'll work in real life. But I want to come back to the point that you guys are all making about the fact that this gives me a nice warm feeling, because I think it will happen. The more that your big organisations automate what they do, the more opportunity there is for small independent businesses to step in and reinvent what they're doing by saying, if you're frustrated with Tesco's, Sainsbury's, Waitrose, Lidl, or wherever else, or Boots, or anywhere else you're going, come to, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Mum and Pop store, we'll look after you. We'll get to know you.
Yeah.
And I use my local Dell's shop around the clock at St. Michael's. They're fabulous. It's a typical small village shop, but it's open longer than supermarkets are open. Their prices are very hardly any difference to the supermarket. You can buy all the staple things in there that you would normally buy, but they recognise you. Hello, Paul. Yeah. How you doing? You know, you can, you know, it
makes you feel valued.
And also you can ask, you know, Dell, who owns the shop. I go, hey, Dell, you haven't got any so-and-so. Well, how many do you want, mate? Well, I want two. I'll order them for you. You know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can I tell you a story from a local shopkeeper in Orpington who's now retired? I went round there and he said, oh, I'm really happy. I've been given an award by local people because I'm such a nice community man, and it was really lovely. But I'm a bit depressed about it. I said, why are you depressed about it? He says, oh, well, the problem is that if the tax man gets to know how successful I am, I'm in real trouble.
But again, success is based on being part of a community, isn't it? As much as anything else. It's not just financial success. It's playing a part in a community where you have a role that looks after people. Mm-hmm. You know, you've talked a lot about young people having mental stresses, but of course we have old people that, you know, I mean really old people, even older than me and Jules,
that are scared to put their heating on at the moment.
Yeah, but it's not all just that. We don't recognise that we live in a technical world where, you know, but my mum's 94, you know, and she's not too bad, really, considering that she got her first mobile phone when she was 92. But, you know, you try and do anything, like they haven't emptied the bins. They go, well, go on the web and fill out our complaint form. She's 94, give it a rest.
And those websites are, even for me, I hate them.
But
even GP clinics, a lot of them are like this as well. I mean, I've called for my mother so many times because
me too.
You know, my mother is slowly, she's struggling to understand things, she's forgetting, you know, and that causes more anxiety. My mum is 73. So she's not really that old, but, well, I don't think she doesn't look that old, does she, Dazzle?
The reason I'm pulling faces is I'm nearly 70 as well, so no, we're not old.
But the fact is, my mum's the same. We gave her an old mobile phone so she could WhatsApp during lockdown. But, you know, my mum puts off now phoning GPs because she says, and she walks down. She says, I'll walk down and make
an
appointment.
My mother's exactly the same.
You know, so then she has to get her full makeup on, her hat and coat and boots, walk 20 minutes to make an appointment. You know, and I don't think she gets treated very well, actually.
No, and sometimes I say, no, can you please do it online? And mum's like, well, I'm here. Can you not? Because I can't do it online.
Yeah, it's wrong.
So it's there's no humanness in most of this stuff, and that's the problem.
And that's human, the thing, if matters.
It does, and if we lose cash, it will be the same, you know, like going to the market, like my mum does.
But I mean, I know a couple of charities, like a charity called Karma, and Chris Pollard has recently just started a charity in his area, in East Sussex, that looks after people, old people that live in rural areas that have no means of transport, because we don't have public transport anymore. Yeah. So they can't go anywhere, you know, and, you know, they're reliant on technology to deliver their shopping, but struggle with it, but they've got no human contact.
Can I give you one thing that we're going to do with our events, which is going to be a challenge for a lot of people, and that is that when you're in a Let's Talk event and there's particular sessions on, such as talking one-to-one, your mobile phone's going to be switched off.
Yeah.
Some people are probably going to faint at even the prospect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, okay. So, where do we go from here? What's going to happen? We got 10 minutes left of the show, and I think we're all signed up to the basic premise of what this is all about, the Let's Talk campaign, that we need to talk to each other, we need to let people speak, we need human contact, we need help. All of us need help, and we need the support of our friends, family, and local community.
Absolutely. And I, you know, at the end of the day, it boils down to, you know, how do you want to proceed in your life? How do you want to live your life? You know, whatever it may be in, and live it the best way by having these open, like I said right at the beginning, open, honest conversations without fear and judgment. Sorry, did you want to add to that?
I was going to say, well, one of the things we will certainly embrace and encourage is to use that Stacey Dooley one, Are You Really Okay? Because it's more than enough in society where we're going through it. We speak to people you know, sometimes you know well. How are you? I'm fine. Move on.
Yeah, yeah.
If you ask the same question a second or a third time, you're going to get somewhere entirely different, most likely. Yeah. And people need to feel that they're cared for and listened to a bit, and being able to be there for you. So,
and that also brings us back to the old Instagram culture as well, where everybody's posting pictures of their wonderful lives and their food, and they're going out. They don't put pictures of themselves with runny noses in bed, feeling like, you know.
Well, I've got to give credit to people like Chandra Sharma, Elkhorn Business Services. He put up a post saying, "I'm struggling. Can people help me?" on LinkedIn. Two, 3, 4 months ago?
Yeah, and that takes a lot of courage.
It does. Yeah.
To admit that. I mean, going back to what you were saying, that whole self-awareness, people understanding other people as well, it's also about what you said, is not just also listening, but looking at people's body language and really understanding. So that's where the awareness comes from, because I could be smiling, and people know me as smiling all the time, but my body often actually gives out the signals. And if people know me really well, they know what my eyes do, because my eyes actually tell a lot when I'm going through things. And
the
if
eyes
people
do.
Can't
yeah.
read that, then they're not going to know.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to play devil's advocate a little bit here, because I'm totally on board with what you're saying, but I'm trying to fit this into a human context of how people normally behave. If I tell you, not you, because you're a professional athlete, if I tell someone, listen, I'm struggling here or whatever, people have a tendency to start giving me solutions that they're not actually capable of giving me, like pull yourself together, grow up, you know, and all that. So how do you see that kind of thing happening, you know? But because for me, sometimes you're just telling people, not because you want to know what their answer to it is, but you just need to unburden yourself with it. Yeah. How do you prevent people from giving you the wrong solutions to your problems?
Well, first of all, I mean, for me, I don't know if you've got an answer to this, Darren, but it's not about me giving them solutions. I would ask them, what is it that you would like? What is it that you need right now?
Yeah.
Ask them the question.
Yeah.
And open the conversation that way.
And actually, I think you've just coined a new hashtag for the campaign. There's going to be a lot of them, but let's listen.
Yeah,
you don't have to solve. Listening alone is part of the solution, actually.
Yeah,
I think this comes in quite well here. It's from Nihal's book, Athenaica. I opened up on that page. It says, a conversation can start before a single word has been exchanged, be it a knock on the door, appearance in a Zoom, or someone just selecting you with their eyes.
Absolutely, I am interested in this. How to avoid people coming up with daft solutions for things? You know, I've been around people with mental health issues, and as someone looking from the outside in, you go, well, I don't understand what your problem is. You know, you've got a fantastic relationship, you've got lovely kids, you've got a good job, you've got a good thing, and what are you worried about? You know. Pull yourself together, which tends
the language.
To, but that tends to be where you end up with, you know, we'll just think differently, you know. But if it was that easy, people would do it themselves.
Yeah.
So, but my point is that I think people want to be able to say something without everybody else piling in with a solution to it. They're not asking for a solution. They're asking you to listen.
On
a related front, this is one of the reasons why having a toolkit as part of what we're doing is useful. I found when we did the Rotary Work Club project together, and you did the really key session, Z, on confidence for people who are in a bad way, one of the things that they most love was actually the book recommendations. So very high on what we're doing is simply saying, look, you don't have to solve everything through us, and yes, you can talk to people in different ways, but a lot of people really actually just love a book, and they can go off and look through the things that we're recommending, and just help themselves.
Yeah.
It is partly self-help.
Just really quickly, one of the things that you had said, you know, when people come to you with a problem it is, you need to listen, right? And what happens is often when you try to give a solution, you're too worried about trying to solve their problem.
Yeah.
And you end up putting your own experiences and your own thoughts into that conversation. And then all of a sudden the conversation has turned and it's become more about
you,
me,
yeah,
rather than them.
Exactly.
And that,
yeah,
should not be happening. And I say should lightly, by the way. Again, that's another sort of generalising word.
We're almost at the end of the show. We've only got a couple of minutes, and I just want to catch up because people have been tweeting away about this while you guys have been waffling on. See what I did there?
Waffle?
In the spirit of the show.
Exactly.
Tazy64 says, a fantastic conversation, and wishing you both every success with this much-needed campaign using the hashtag Starting Conversations.
Yeah, I was just going to read another tweet from Tracy as well, saying, sounds like a brilliant campaign, something which is very close to my heart too, Starting Conversations, supporting self-awareness and growth.
Thank you, Tracy.
She says, listening is such a valuable skill. Not listening to respond, really listening to another's viewpoint to understand without judgment, which is what you were saying, Zina.
Paragon Drones have said, another fantastic book on how to talk is called In How to Have Impossible Conversations.
Yes.
Yeah, by Peter Bogossian and James Lindsay.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you for that. So, and there's quite a few tweets, so I'm sure you'll catch up with
them
in a moment. I just need to mention this because they're not talking about what we're just talking about, but they've asked for a shout out, which is DG East, High Vanilla Web, and Jewel Circuit. Please give a shout out to an over regulated business funding the few. That's DG East Vehicle Services, so consider yourself shouted out.
Did you read about Paragon Drones?
Yeah, I just read it.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Phil.
And Tenterson Chambers said, great shout out for Shop Around the Clock in St Michael's. Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's Dylan and the family there.
And
they're
Casey Canine, the famous greyhound, says he walks around Shop Around the Clock every day.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Listen, we wish you much success with your campaign. If people want to find out more about it, how can they do that?
They can go to the website, which should be up and running.
It will be up and running soon.
But in the next week or so.
Yeah, letstalkbetter.org will be the key site for this going
forward. Okay.
Absolutely. Or get in touch with us individually as well.
Once it's up, let me know, and then I'll put links to it on the Business Bunker site, and we'll give it a shout out again over the next couple of weeks.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We wish you much success with this. It's a fabulous idea. It's a brilliant campaign. We need to talk more, so let's talk. But for the moment, Darren Wheel, Zinat Narani, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're at the end of another show already. It's gone so quickly.
Yeah.
And there were hundreds of people involved here.
Yeah.
Half of Liverpool.
and the busies.
Yeah. Some people from Newcastle, I think, and loads of other people. Anyway, I want to say a huge thank you to our guests on this week's show. Gemma Pryor of Trinity Accounting from the Maidstone Business Terrace, Darren Wheel of Intune PR, Zinat Narani of Mindset Matters.
Hang on a minute. Vida della Mariposa Coaching?
What?
He can say it. I caught him off guard there.
What?
My company name.
Say it again.
Vida della Mariposa Coaching.
Oh,
what she said.
Yeah. That sounds like a dance.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. What was that? Anyway, we've run out of time. Yeah. So thank you to my co-host, Jill Serkin. We'll be back with another show next week.
Yes.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.